The name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the church, it was not uncommon for spiritual leaders and spiritual writers to divide human teachings into two categories: the basic teaching and the advanced. And whereas the basic teaching is general guidelines for living at work, a fairly easy way, the advanced teaching is a theory designed to reflection and challenge. And the Bible classifies Jesus' teaching in a gospel lesson this morning. I think they would belong in the advanced category. Now, speaking personally, sometimes I feel like all of Jesus' teaching belongs in the advanced category, but there's a reason how it's not. So what teaching has been handed down to us this morning? Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine but on enemies. If anyone become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will mine it, and for the sake of the gospel. Why did Jesus say these things? And what are we supposed to learn from these advanced teachings? Well, let's go over some time. When Jesus utters these words, we are smack in the middle of Mark's Gospel. There are 16 chapters in the Gospel of Mark, and we are in chapter 8. And at this point in the Gospel, Jesus' earthly ministry is well underway. Jesus and the disciples have spoken through Galilee and the region of the capital, preaching, healing, and casting out demons. Jesus has fed the 5,000, Jesus has fed the 4,000. He has raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, he has walked on water, and he has calmed the sea among the waves. In other words, up until this point, Jesus has given numerous signs to his followers that indicate that he is not your typical man, nor your typical miracle. It is quite clear that there is something else going on. And so this is the suspicion that Jesus poses the following question to his disciples: who do you say that I am? In other words, who am I? And who answers the question correctly? Peter. Peter replies to Jesus, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus reacts, "Can you imagine the feeling of joy, the feeling of awe that Peter and the disciples of himself in that moment? We found the Messiah. We found the one." It will happen more accurately when the Messiah has come along, has chosen, and we are the one. And yet that joy will last for long, will it? Indeed, it lasts for a new thing. But what happens immediately after? Jesus predicts his passion. He basically tells them, "I'm not going to be with you in this world long." As Jesus teaches, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, God is born. That must have been like a dagger to the heart. It was reading the man or woman to dream, and he said, "Oh, by the way, I didn't see him." That must have not been me. I don't have that feeling. And what happens next? After Jesus' prediction, Peter, the very one who just said a moment ago, "You are the Messiah," to get God, to take Jesus to God, and hear the things to reveal to him. Peter reveals Jesus, our Lord. Now, we don't know exactly what he is saying, but we can assume that he is taking with you the Jesus tradition when it happens. And it also indicates that Peter perhaps doesn't want Jesus to go away, doesn't want Jesus to go away. He just found him, and now we're leaving. And how does Jesus react? Get behind me, Satan, for you are sitting in my mind, my body, but I'm free. So that's one of Jesus' most powerful moments in the gospel. Why did Jesus say this to Peter? Well, whether Peter is aware of it or not, he is tempting Jesus away from the cross. And Jesus is saying, don't tempt me, Peter, but Satan is in the wilderness. Don't tempt me away from the cross. As a matter of fact, get behind me. Because I don't follow you, you follow me. And I don't think Jesus is saying this word wanting to the soul. Rather, he is saying to Peter, you are always in the wrong direction. You see, Peter is backtracking away from the call in the direction of the human will, which he should preserve every life. But it is possible to preserve the earthly life. One of the rivals to the human eternal. For the earth will be a temple and only be small. So whether Peter is pulling Jesus back to the realm of the human world, Jesus is leading Peter to the path of the divine world, the path that leads to the cross. While one will use their earthly life, the human eternal. So as our Lord teaches us, those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life in my faith will take the gospel will save it. And so the fact that leads to the cross is the one that leads us away from the human world and leads us in the direction of the divine world. And that basically summarizes the Christian life in the gospel. The Christian life is one where it walks in full of divinity. We leave behind the earth. We let go of the human world as we gradually, ever so gradually, embrace the divine world. And this is tension in Christians. To be a Christian is to exist in a liminal state caught between the human and the divine. And it is often not a comfortable place to be. Because what the world asks of us and what God asks of us are not always the same. What does the world teach us? Head to the top, be number one. But what does God teach us? The rest of us are meek. And the first shall be last in the gospel. The world teaches us we are innocent, we are believers. God teaches us, you are fallen, you are sick, and you need a grace. The world teaches us, death should be at the table. But our world teaches us, death is only the beginning. In our contemporary world, I think there is great pressure to embrace the human world over the divine world. So that instead of following Jesus to the cross, there is a temptation to lead him away from the cross and take in that path that the world wants us to go, not where God wants us to go. The temptation to conform to the divine world and the human world will always be in the spirit. And it is a sin that we're coming along with you in time. I know that I am not. There was a moment in my life that I felt that I could live like an armchair Christian. I could see two feet in the world and 2 feet in the heavens. I could study and teach in the Christ, and I could love him, but I didn't have to cross that threshold. I didn't have to sit for him. Because I knew the cross was there waiting for me. And so, Jesus became my companion in life. He followed me, but I didn't follow him. In this season of life, we are asked to join the Lord in the wilderness, to face our temptation, to face our weakness, to abandon our spiritual life and our relationship with God. And in this time of struggle and contemplation, I think it's possible that we all fall short. Am I following Jesus? Or is Jesus following me? Am I living my life in harmony with the divine will? Or in harmony with the people? What would it mean to carry my cross? Am I carrying that cross? Or have I left it by the side of the road? Our gospel today is an advanced teaching of Jesus. And just as Jesus is challenging Peter, so too is he challenging us. So that challenge is a gift. It's a gift. And this season of life, things of gift will come. Amen.